Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Goldfeld.
I'm Andy Bates.
Waiting with bated breath for my mic to be on.
Friday morning. It's always game. You never know when I'm going to turn it on.
I know. I gotta be on my toes.
It is Friday morning. What coffee do you have?
That's a good question. I didn't have any at home this morning, so I don't know.
Did your hubby make the coffee this morning?
He did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Such a nice husband.
Yeah, he makes me food. I'll keep him around.
I have a nice wife. She packs my lunch for me every day. I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah,
otherwise,
so does my hubby.
I probably wouldn't eat very healthy.
Yeah, when there's like Chick-fil-A down the street.
Yeah. We won't talk about the fact that they open early and I may or may not go through the drive-thru occasionally before. Yeah. We're going to zoom right on past that into our topic for this morning. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin as well. Thanks, Concordia, Wisconsin. Go Falcons.
Yeah. And I don't know. What sports season? Basketball?
Basketball is kind of winding down. You know.
I'm so terrible. I'm only paying attention to college basketball and because...
March Madness.
Yep, because it's Michigan made the Elite Eight last night.
Check out CUW.edu, Concordia University, Wisconsin, CUW.edu. Find them on our website, KFUO.org.
So many tangents this morning. Next week is Holy Week.
It is. It is Holy Week, actually starting, at like sundown tomorrow, I guess.
Technically.
Saturday Sunday is Palm Sunday.
Is Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we'll get into Holy Week, and there's a lot of church that will happen next week, and...
Thanks be to God.
Yes, I like Holy Week.
I do, too.
It's nice.
Except for around here, sometimes that tends to be a week when there's a lot of rain, and so roads close, and we can't always make it to our church, so we end up visiting sometimes other churches when that happens, because roads closing.
It's rainy in the forecast every day next week, just so you know.
Yeah.
Welcome to spring. Mm-hmm. So with lots of church services, and children.
Yes.
And parents.
I'm one of
them.
I am a child and a parent.
It can get a little, it can be a long week for some parents, maybe.
It is, but the gifts are given.
Absolutely. And we have a pastor here to tell us how parents can keep their children focused on what's happening next week. Pastor Tony Oliphant, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Elmhurst, Illinois, and my former pastor when I lived up there. So welcome, Pastor Oliphant.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a joy to have you on with us on this wonderful Friday. How is it up in Chicago?
It is sunny. It's actually, it's a little cool, but it's finally starting to look like spring.
I'm envious. You have sunshine.
Yeah.
We do not.
It's dreary here.
So we'll bask in the moment and enjoy your sunshine vicariously.
Very good. So, Pastor, with Holy Week next week, can you give us a brief, I know there's a lot, but a brief rundown of the liturgical changes that happened between the Sundays, between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, and how that rhythm kind of happens next week?
Yeah, absolutely. So this coming Sunday is Palm Sunday, or Sunday of the Passion, in which we hear about Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And at the very beginning of the service, typically there will be a lot of either a procession of palms, or you'll have children singing All Glory, Laud, and Honor. And it's starts out very festive as this the tone that would have been in Jerusalem at the triumphal entry as they have their Messiah finally entering through the gates of the royal city of Jerusalem. And then there's actually this moment that's toward the beginning of the service, and of course it depends on which rites are followed at various congregations. There's a moment in the service then where it becomes a little bit more silent. And so that's when we move into the Passion account, which is read on Palm Sunday to help kind of give us a broad overview of what to expect that week. And so this year we'll be reading from the Gospel of Mark, the account there. And so we'll have the entire Passion of our Lord laid out for us on Sunday. That then helps set the tone for as we're moving through Holy Week. Then of course, the next big date is Holy Thursday, or Maundy Thursday, and that is when we hear about the Lord giving us the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And so things become a little bit more austere sounds wrong, but things do become a little bit more somber. Mm-hmm. We are a little bit more restrained as we're moving ever closer to our Lord's crucifixion. And so we hear about the sacrament that he gives us, and then the service ends. It's a very common thing to end with stripping of the altar, as we remember our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he's being arrested, as he's being flogged. And so so the service then really does start to take on a much more somber feel to it. Then typically Good Friday, there will be at least one service, two possibly, where there will be maybe more, depending on the local congregation. Usually it's not uncommon to have a service between noon and 3 on Good Friday, the hours that Jesus was actually on the cross. And at that point, we have a bare altar. Everything is cleared out of the sanctuary and really focused on the word, the account of Christ's crucifixion. And so that typically is a very, very subdued service. And then in the evening, there will very often be a Vespers service, Tenebrae Vespers, sometimes called the Service of Darkness, Service of Shadows, in which the lighting is a little bit lower, as we're remembering, you know, that the Son of God has died. And so we reflect on that. And then we have the turning point. On Holy Saturday, there's the Easter Vigil, in which we see growing light. The service starts with the fire outside of the church. We're talking about we dedicate the candle, bless the candle, the paschal candle that'll be in front of the baptismal font. And so through that service, we hear about the Lord working salvation. There's growing light through the service until finally there's the Easter acclamation that Christ is risen. And right then in the middle of the service, it's Easter. The altar is redressed. The lights are turned up. And then suddenly we're back to the joyful songs that the church has been laying aside for the last 6 weeks. And then, of course, it was Easter Sunday. Because the resurrection of Jesus was such a big deal. I mean, that's understating it, but it's so vitally important that we actually need more time to really meditate on exactly what it is that his resurrection accomplishes for us. And so we have another service on Easter Sunday, and we meditate on what his life means for us now.
You mentioned the Friday afternoon, Good Friday afternoon service, I believe called the Treore service, and we actually have one here in St. Louis. We'll be broadcasting on Friday from noon to 3 on Good Friday. So it's a tradition here in St. Louis. Several of the congregations come together for the Treore service, and we share that with our listeners here on KFUO. So if you don't have a Treore service in your area, you can listen right here on KFUO on Good Friday from noon to 3. Now, you shared with us this progression of services throughout Holy Week, and being the father of a little one, now 4-year-old, one of the things that I do as a parent to, even if it's only for a split second, to keep him focused on what's being given, to even be looking in the direction of the pastor, I'll ask, what color do you see? Mm-hmm. So what are the colors? Everything's purple right now, Pastor. What are the colors in this coming week, starting with this coming Sunday?
Right. So with this coming Sunday, if a congregation does have scarlet paraments, those will go up to kind of reflect the growing intensity of Christ's passion that we'll have on the Sunday of the Sunday of the Passion, Palm Sunday here coming up. We at Redeemer do have some scarlet paraments and vestments that are they're different than red that we would use for Pentecost or for Saints' Days, but these are, you know, set aside for once a year, and it's a really, really intense crimson to remind us the shedding of our Lord's blood. And that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the week, that this is going to be an increased period of devotion and prayer, self-denial, even more so than we've had for the other 5 weeks of Lent. And then when we move to Maundy Thursday or Holy Thursday, typically it's white, remembering the purity that we receive in the Lord's Supper, the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing that we have there. And then we have no paraments. At the end of the service, when the altar is stripped, we go as bare as we possibly can. The fair linens are removed. Everything is taken out of the sanctuary. And so this is a once-in-a-church-year occasion where we have absolutely nothing up there. It's just a stark altar. And then there's the for Good Friday, there's the option you can return to violet paraments. Some congregations will have black paraments specifically for Good Friday. They'll have black vestments. And then for Easter Vigil, once it is Easter there in the middle of the service, then you have the bright white paraments brought back out, showing again that increasing light and hope and life.
It's fun and to have all of those. Go ahead.
It is, yeah. It's great. We do the same thing with our Sunday school opening. Whenever we have a switch in the church here, whenever we have a special day in the church here, I'll have the children look for things that are different in the church. And so it's been pretty easy for them lately. It's been very obvious changes. We have all of the crosses veiled now. Mm-hmm. And so these things are, the children really do pick up on it. And so, and they're pretty good with color associations too, once these things are explained. And so it really does help them get into a good rhythm to have these visual helps.
Yeah, and you mentioned pointing out changes. I think one of the most drastic changes during the entire church year is the stripping of the altar. That's something that, you know, we change colors, liturgical colors throughout the year, and they mean something, but that once a year there's nothing up there, and that's such a stark thing for kids to see. Well, for everybody, but we have just a couple minutes left, but how can parents respond to children that ask them, you know, why are they doing this to the altar? Why is this happening? And why is it bare?
Yeah, well, that's a good explanation kind of going into it, or if, you know, they ask the question after church, to explain that this is to remind us of what happened to Christ. So we have where he was, his cloak and his robe were taken away, that he was really stripped of all glory, or what we humans would call glory. He laid all of this aside, that it was taken from him by the Roman executioners and torturers, and that this is to really help us, not just have a visual reminder, but it really, you had mentioned, it really is very stark. There's almost a visceral reaction when you walk into the church, and it looks completely different than it has all year round. And it really is to help us focus on the fact that this is the Son of God at the lowest point of his humiliation.
Pastor Oliphant, Redeemer Lutheran Church in Elmhurst, Illinois. Thanks so much for helping us prepare for Holy Week, prepare our families for Holy Week as we look to the Passion of our Lord and the gifts that are received in it. Thanks so much, Pastor Oliphant.
My pleasure.
Coming up in just a little bit, last day of Camp Week.
Last day. Where are we going, Indiana?
We are. We're going to
Indiana.
We're going to Seymour, Indiana.
Oh, how fun.
We're headed to Lakeview in Seymour, Indiana. More Coffee Hour right after this.